It's our 12th anniversary of our church building. And actually, I don't know if all y'all have ever heard this story. Anyway, I don't know if y'all know this. So it's the 12th year anniversary of this building. The ministry actually started in 2001, December of 2001, after Thurman's wife and daughter had gotten killed and Caitlin had gotten hurt, and he'd raised her up and raised up nine kids totally over at Cook's Medical Center in Fort Worth. Okay, so when we lost Elise in Dallas, he came out here. We went and looked at this church in Irving, and I was like, oh, gosh, this can't be it. It was big, but it was expensive, and so we came out here, and so he went outside, and the Lord talked to him and told him, he said, I gave you all this land, and so he said, build the church here. And he said, well, Lord, who will come? All of y'all. Yeah. He says, don't worry about who comes. I'll send them. So he says, okay. So I'm out there, y'all. The next day, I got this silk skirt in the mail. You know, I used to shop a lot on eBay, and it was this designer, Carmen Mark Valvo, and I've got this beautiful skirt. He says, here, come out here. I go out there in the dirt. Well, actually, it was the dirt right here. And he gives me this pole, you know. And he puts me way over there, and it's hot. And I'm out there sweating in high heels in my silk skirt holding this pole. What do you call that thing? You're shooting the line or something? Surveying pole, yes, okay. So I finally told him, you got to get one of your boys to do this. I've had enough out here. But anyway, as you can see, he and Eldon welded every single joist in this place. Yes. And then Dave and Dave's bravery would get up on top of a really tall ladder. I don't even know how big was that ladder. About 12 foot. And stand on the top of it. It's really tall if you stand on the top of it. And then he would take those, and there was like a bracket looking thing, and he would set those into it. I'd come out here and I'd watch him. I'd just shake my head. I can't even. And he's standing on his tippy toes. Picking up that, yeah, they had a Skytrack or something holding it. You know, it wasn't going to fall on him. But still, it was just amazing what they did. And then one night, John called here, and he said, it's fixing to rain. I'm headed out there. You need to get a bunch of men there because we need to close it in. Because we had all this material underneath here, and it was wide open. And so you finished it about 11 o'clock at night, wasn't it? Something like that. Well, okay, midnight. When we were out here with, you know, car lights and everything else so that they could get it, the roof on it, so they could, you know, save what was down here that wouldn't get wet. I guess it was insulation or something. I don't know. But it was pretty amazing. And I told you last week, I watched him on how tall was that ladder when you were doing the spraying the acoustic? It was taller than 12. Okay, 14. Anyway, he would get up there and he would hook his leg on the ladder, and then he would hang over here like this. He had his bucket and he had his sprayer, and he sprays all the way up there. You see all the way. How tall is that? How tall is that up there? How many feet is that up there?
14 feet.
No. All the way to the top where you sprayed it.
The very top.
Yeah, the very top. 21 feet. Oh, we're only 21 feet up. He sprayed all of that, hooked with his leg. It took him 6 hours. I sat in here and watched him and prayed. He first started off, he had me stand in the little opening there and had this hold this piece of cardboard so he wouldn't spray on the wood. And I held this piece of cardboard, and he sprayed my hair with acoustic. I was like, I think this is another job for one of your boys. I said, I'm resigning right now. And so he ended up doing it himself. But he sprayed this whole thing all the way in one fell swoop, 6 hours, you know. And, of course, we left the back open because there were 275 people that came the opening day. And so we just assumed that maybe we were going to have more people and we would need to build out that way. So we left that wall open. And then we had this lady show up, okay. When we had our first service, all of this was wide open, and then we had all these beds, about, 20 twin beds that were sitting up there that you could see them. And this lady comes from Duncanville, and she said the Lord spoke to her. She, She told the Lord that she wanted to go somewhere where there was power. And he told her to go to Thurman Scribner's church. Well, she didn't know his church, so she looked it up. She shows up here. But he also showed her a vision. And when she got here and she looked up and saw all the beds, she said, that's the vision the Lord showed me. All those beds upstairs, up there in the top. Because there's four bedrooms up there. And it's like, wow, you know, God knows everything. You know, yes, of course he does. But, I mean, we're talking about the building, you know, and people showing up from Duncanville and having a vision of beds. I mean, that's pretty amazing as far as I'm concerned. So, anyway, we're here to celebrate all the hard work that went into this place. And they did. They had it. He had it open in 2 months. 2 months. Had it 2 months. It was open. Yes, we didn't have the walls and the entryway and all that. It was just framed in. Or the kitchen. Yeah, we didn't have the kitchen. He built the kitchen in 2 weeks. While Yesha was and Dave were out of town to surprise her because we were using her kitchen. And I'm sure it surprised her. She was very happy. Okay, anyway, so here we are. It's 12 years later, and the church is still growing and going, and you're still growing and going. Yeah, he is. He is. He's getting stronger every day. Okay, and so y'all know it's Christmas. Y'all know it's the season for gift buying for the needy. And right now we've raised $55,752.68. And we've given out 2,801 gifts, which includes 342 family gifts to Grace. We gave them 718 gifts also. But we've given to Justin Community Clothes Closet to Grace, which is a Grapevine Relief and Community Exchange, which they service Colleyville, Grapevine, and South Lake. And then the Salvation Army in Denton. And then Christ Haven, we gave them $20,000 plus 75 Six Flags Hurricane Harbor season tickets. So if you want to help, I have to tell you one story that happened last night. I had $2,535 of Kohl's cash. And so we went, Kim and her children and John, well, two of the boys, the three boys came with us because we needed strength. And we got a Z-Rack. A Z-Rack is a double rack. And we bought 304 hoodies and thermals and got great prices. And the manager of the store came and worked with us, which was just great. Colleen's wonderful. And, over in Keller. And so, we got them all 304 items for $858. So it came out to $2.50 an item because I had the $2,535 of Kohl's cash, which is free money. When you go spend, they give you so much. So we did all that. Okay. So we still have, we're still receiving things and we're still distributing. I've got the barn is full of family gifts. We've been kind of busy and we haven't had a chance to go deliver all that to Grace, but we will. And we've got a whole bunch of stuff in the front that I've got to go through and check it in. You know, you have to check it all in and then you, cause sometimes they make mistakes. Sometimes they send me too much or sometimes they don't send it. You know, it varies. I've had it both ways. So if you want to help, well, just put on your check, our offering, you know, put children or Christmas and we'd appreciate it. Okay. Then we've got all kinds of testimonies. First, we had a Christmas greeting from Sweden, from Raul. He says, a greeting from us to you all. I am so grateful to the Lord Jesus that he has equipped and sent Pastor Thurman Scrivener. Thank you for everything. What host we could have with such men of God. I praise and thank the Lord for each day. You are my best companion. Thank you for putting light on the shifts. And I looked that up. It means in the darkness. There's different kinds of light. God's peace from Raul in Sweden. Wow. Yes, Lord. I love this one. This man was from Tennessee. He said, Dear Pastor Thurman Scribner, recently I purchased an old CD player portable unit from a thrift store in our area. It contained your Sunday service, June 3rd, 2012. listed as do not take the implant. Well, it probably was the mark, but anyway, that's okay. Listening to the recording, I was so shocked as to the CD enclosed within it. I and my wife, Margot, were saved in 1975 in a small Baptist church. I had never heard a message like this. I can't read that word. Maybe ever. So please send us multiple copies of it, 4 or 5, and any other information on, I can't read that either. Our videos upon your, oh yeah, he's listening. Your sin has made you sick. He wanted that one. I plan to give a CD first to our personal deacon, who we know very well, and I can hope this information will be shown to our pastor. And he got this at a thrift store. You got to love it. As for the church to institute these trusted principles as to divine healings. In their 9-3 prayer room at the First Baptist Church in Dan Ridge, Tennessee. Thanks, Ed and Margaret Pula. Isn't that something? I mean, you go to a thrift store and you get one of your, I mean, God's got them lined out there waiting for people everywhere. Okay, we had a lady call this past week, Lynette, and she had a praise report. She said Sharon prayed with her and her healing manifested. She had preeclampsia and liver enzyme problem, and the doctor said, I am shocked and everything is back to normal. No need for surgery. Praise the Lord. And this, the preeclampsia thing causes you to die, so it was a good thing. Yes, thank you, Lord. Okay, this one came from Spain. Yeah, he first wrote, let's see, he's written several times now.
We get them from all over the world. I mean, we get praise reports that come from literally all over the world. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Okay.
Well, this is our European section. This is our European section.
Oh, okay.
I'm not through. I have several from Europe. Okay, this man wrote, okay, like I say, he's from Spain. His name is Dirk. And he said, first thing he asked, he wanted to get to where he is, and so he gave him some advice. Stay in the Word. It takes diligence. Trust in the Lord leads to prosperity. Be a good steward. And so he gave him a link how to be prosperous and successful. Then he wrote back and said, thank you so much for all your teaching hours. What a blessing. What a treasure. Listening to your teaching gives me so much and helps me to stay in the Word of God. I'm just missing someone to pray with me here in the spiritual desert of Europe. Praise the Lord. Many blessings from Spain. Then he wrote and he said something about he didn't have, these are kind of out of order. He asked for understanding of the Word. And so we wrote, we've asked the Lord to open your understanding to the Word of God, and it's done. Praise the Lord, Pastor Thurman. He wrote back, and it works. Praise the Lord. I got up this morning with such a desire to read the Word, especially Romans, which was till now a difficult book for me. Another issue is my double-mindedness. The Lord shows me through James 1 that this has been a problem all my life. Please pray with me for this. I want to serve the Lord and get finally in His purpose for my life. Thank you, Pastor Thurman, and many blessings. Dirk. So we wrote back, we rebuke the spirit of double-mindedness and command it to leave and never come back, according to Luke 10:19-20. We've asked the Lord to use you mightily for His service. We've prayed. It's done. Praise the Lord. And he wrote back, thank you. Praise the Lord. Love and blessings from Spain. So obviously it worked. Okay, now this one is from Hungary.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now she first wrote begging, but I understand why people beg. But as my husband told me in the very beginning, God didn't give you anything if you go in begging. You have to go in boldly.
Amen.
No tears. I learned that when I was standing for my dad. Okay, this started out with, and she's written many times about her mother. She still has a fever. I need your faith, Pastor Thurman. Please pray for my mother, Eva. She now has been sick for 2 months. It started with some type of viral, then bacterial staphylococcus infection. Where did this bacteria spread in her body through her blood? There was pain all over and weakness in her body. Medical care is horrible here in Hungary. She was in the hospital for 12 days, and they released her still very sick on October 22nd. Then she was prescribed different antibiotics, but the sickness remained. She was on the antibiotics a long time, too, and when she stopped the antibiotics, the fever returns. Her doctor wants to send her back to the hospital. I asked for prayer before, and someone prayed for her over the phone as well. She's talking about here. We are believing for her healing. We're really fighting for it, declaring she's already healed in the stripes of Jesus. I even took her to a healing service in a very powerful church, and I saw a great improvement in her, and then the fever returned. We don't know what to do. Help us believe for her total healing and deliverance. Please, we know that many get healed through your ministry. Thank you for your prayers. I appreciate your ministry so much and listen to your teachings nearly every day. Thank you so much, Monica, in Hungary. Okay, well, staphylococcus infection has to do with a broken spirit, fear, spirit of infirmity, and rebellion. And we sent her that. And then we said, we prayed and it's done. Praise the Lord. Then she wrote back, let's see how many days difference, November, 3 days later, 3 days later, because she wrote November the 26th and then November the 29th. Dear Pastor Thurman and Cheryl, thank you so much for your faith-filled prayer. The day I wrote to you again, in desperation, my mother's fever has gone up again to 100.4, showing the infection was still there. After your prayer, that very day, the fever disappeared. Yep. The highest it went up was only 99, and usually it was below 98.6. Praise the Lord. She still has pain and some weakness, but so much better. And so then she throws in all the other problems she had. It's funny, people, they'll ask for that one big one, and they'll forget all this other stuff over here. So she said, there are other issues, cyst in the liver, slightly enlarged, limited kidney function, joint pain, muscle pain, gallstone, toenail fungus, slight hearing loss, slight incontinence, starting glaucoma, possible endocarditis. I don't even know what that, endocarditis, I don't know. And then high blood pressure. Could you pray one more time for healing from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet and strength to return to her? I cannot express how much I appreciate your ministry. I would love to come and visit one day. God bless you richly. I'm forever grateful. Your sister in Christ, Monica. Oh, and then I have one that some people don't know about. We pass these out. Some of y'all get this for the first time. Okay, this is Carla. Carla emailed us October 4th of 2018. And she said, I got healed of MRSA. I had MRSA for 3 years. And that she listened to, I forget which teaching, might have been How to Be Healed, but I'm not sure. I'd have to look at that letter again. But anyway, she listened, learned how to repent of her sins, pray the prayer of faith, and she got healed of MRSA. She was all happy about that. Well, then she wrote October the 4th of 2018 and said, I have eczema on my hands. And she said, I've asked the Lord, and he hasn't told me, you know, what my problem is. And so, because she knew that Thurman taught it was sin that caused the sickness. And so she wanted to know why she was sick. So we wrote her back and we told her that she didn't love herself, that it was self-hatred. God says in his word to love your neighbor as yourself. And it's a commandment from God. And if you don't love yourself, it's a sin and he will afflict you. Okay, we see it all the time with women. A few men, but women are really, that's where they fall into that hole. So anyway, we wrote her, we sent her How to Love Yourself. We sent her all kinds of teachings, you know. And then Love Yourself, God Commands It. That's the name of it. So she didn't agree with what we wrote. And so that's okay. You don't have to agree with anything, you know. If you don't believe it, you don't believe it. So in December, so this is October the 4th, middle of December, she's in her house early morning hours around 2 or so, and she's got a blanket around her, and she's sitting in a chair talking to the Lord. And she said, Lord, I just don't understand why I am not healed. You know, why do I have this disease? And he audibly spoke to her and he said, self-hatred and self-loathing. So he told her exactly what we told her in a different way. So She said, I despise myself, so I despised everybody. So she took 8 months to straighten out her life, to repent, forgive everybody she had to forgive, plus forgiving herself, getting herself straight. And then she prayed the prayer of agreement, prayer of faith for herself. And she asked the Lord to give her more beautiful hands than she had before. She's 70 years old. I can't remember where she's from. I want to say Arkansas, but I'm not really sure. Okay. Anyway, so she prays, and look what happened. Praise the Lord. So Carla's here because of this ministry, because she learned what she learned here, and because we told her the truth, and then God told her the truth, and then she did the thing that she needed to do to get her life back together. Praise God.
So many people don't want to believe what God says. If do what?
Closer.
If you, yeah. If God says something, you better pay attention. And the whole secret to this whole thing is, so many people think that God is a God of love, and so since He's a God of love, which He is, that He's a God of love, that He would never strike you with any kind of discipline. You know, but I don't even know, but I would be here to think. This man right over here, he's got two sons. Scott, do you love those boys?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but when them boys don't do what you ask them to do, once in a while you have to hit the switch after them, don't you?
Not so much anymore, they're better.
There's no difference with God. What I'm trying to say is, God loves you just like Scott loves his sons, but He has to discipline those boys, because the scripture says if you don't drive the evil from your children, you hate them. And so it's amazing, the people that just, they don't see it. You know, but God will discipline you. They just don't think God will do that. And one of the ways He does this, and of course this is something that really gets us, that sin and sickness are directly related. God, most people just go nuts when you tell them, you know, God is the one that did this. In fact, when they had me on the Sid Roth show up in Tennessee or wherever it was, North Carolina, wherever it was, Sid asked me a question. He says, that day he was there, he says, I don't see how you made it whenever your wife and your daughter got killed in that car wreck. He said, I don't see how you did that. I said, well, Sid, God is God, and He knows what He's doing. So I said, He's the one that killed them. And I mean, Sid Roswell, he went nuts. He said, Thurman, don't you ever get on my set and say that God killed your wife and your daughter. I said, but He does. He even says that. He says, I kill. Doesn't He? Yeah, the scripture is written. If God said, I kill, who do you think killed? That's just like I was down at the bank here one day, and there's a young lady that had been listening to some of my stuff. She was a young woman. I don't know how old she was, about 20, I guess, or 21. Anyway, I walked in the bank to deposit some checks or something, and she said, Mr. Scribner, I just don't see how you believe that God kills people. I said, you don't think God kills nobody? She said, absolutely not. He would not never hurt nobody. I said, have you ever read the Bible? And she said, well, yes, I have. I said, well, was there a time back there somewhere that God made the heavens and the earth, and it was people all over the place, and He got upset with them, and He sent a flood? And I said, what happened to all those people? She said, well, they all died in the flood. I said, well, who do you think killed them? See, we don't see that. We read that, but we don't see it. But is God the one that killed all those people? I mean, every one of them died. I mean, he killed them all. Methuselah was one of them that died. I mean, probably Adam was still there. All kinds of people, but they turned their back on God, and they got upset with Him. And so God sent the floods and the rains, and He killed everybody on the earth except 8 people. Did He not? So you look at that and you think, you know, God does these kind of things. But you know, he does things, and he does things to teach you how to do stuff and how to walk by faith. And some of you don't know that what just recently happened to me. I was telling somebody earlier, but it's amazing what God does to us boys, his sons. I'm a son of God. I live under a new covenant. But here, just a few months ago, I walked out here in the church one morning to going into the kitchen to get me something to eat. And as I walked around right up here to the edge of this chair was sticking out a little further. And I tripped my leg on it because it didn't have all these lights on, just had the lights on the wall over here on. So it's pretty dark in here. I went around the corner right there and I hung my leg right there on the edge of that seat. When I did, it threw me down on the ground, and my right-hand side went right down on the ground, and I hit right on my femur, my hip. I hit right there, and I hit on my shoulder, and it hurt. But I jumped up, and I said, I am not injured. I'm not hurt. There's nothing wrong with me. Thank you, Lord. I'm healed in Jesus' name. And I got up and went on in that breakfast. Come out. After I had breakfast, I come out, and I walked up here, and Cheryl, she was getting some packages together for Christmas for some people. And I said, do you want me to help you? And she said, sure. So after get all that done, we got all those boxes, everything. And then I went and put about 20 of them in the car. After I put them in the car, I started to get up in the car to go with her over to unload them. I raised my right leg up and put it on the fronting board. And when I stepped down and pushed up on my weight, it was like you had hit me with a sword right here. I mean, boy, you talk about hurting. It hurt. And I went ahead and got in the car, and I said, well, wow. Cheryl said, what's wrong? I said, well, something ain't right. But I've never had a pain quite like that. So anyway, we went on over to unload it, and I unloaded the first heavy box, the biggest one. And it hurt so bad, I told her, I said, I can't do it no more. I'm going to have to take a break. So she said, well, the rest of them are small. I'll just unload them. So she unloaded the rest of the boxes. We got in the car and we come home. When we got out here and I stepped up on the running board and I started to push myself out of the car. And man, that's not the right thing to do if you like pain. I've got a little problem here that if there's anything I hate worse than pain, it's a little more pain. Do y'all know where I'm coming from? When God does something to you, he's trying to get your attention. Well, he was trying to get my attention, I guarantee, and he did it. I don't know exactly what had caused that problem to come, but boy, did he get my attention. So anyway, Cheryl was out of town. She left and went out of town with her daughter. And then she came back after about maybe a couple of weeks or what? 1 week or whatever, because I was hurting. I wasn't getting around too good. I was really in pain. So she come back and she said, we're going to take you to the doctor. Okay, now, I've been to the best doctor in the universe. Amen. But, you know, it's amazing how that I don't care. You can be a pastor's wife. You can do anything you want to do, but, you know, you still want to know what's going on. Yes. So Cheryl said, I'm going to take you to the doctor. I said, honey, I've been to the doctor. She said, no, we're going to go let a doctor tell us what's wrong with your hip. Okay, so Baron, he loads me up in the car in a wheelchair. Is this right, Baron? He loaded me up in the car, and we went up to Denton to the doctor. And Baron went with me. He pushed me around the wheelchair. I couldn't hardly walk. It was just painful to walk. I mean, just super painful to walk. So Baron put me in a wheelchair. He went into that office. He got a wheelchair and come out there, and he pushed me in. And they done an x-ray. And the x-ray they done, they said, well, it certainly looks like it's broke. But he said, to really tell how bad it's broke, we need to do an MRI. I never heard of never had an MRI in my life. I'm 81 years old and never had an MRI. I don't supposed to have those things. So anyway, Baron said, well, they said, when do you want this done? I said, well, as quick as possible. They said, well, we'll take you down to, where was that, Irving? Flower Mound. Okay, somewhere to another doctor that done the MRI. So Baron loaded me up, pushed me up in the wheelchair. I mean, it's nice to have a big old strong bruiser like him to help you out when you need help. I mean, it's really nice to have a strong boy. I mean, he's strong as a bull, boy. I'm telling you, he just picked me up, set me around. It was nice to have a big, heavy boy. But that boy can pick up 800 pounds. And so I only weigh 170, so I'm a long ways to the top of his list. But anyway, he took me down there to, and they done an MRI on me. When they got through, they said, yeah, it'd take about a half hour to do it. So, and it did. And they run me through that machine. Anybody in here ever had an MRI? So you know what I'm talking about. Okay, they run you through that machine. And whenever they got through with that and everything, he said, yeah, you've done a good job on it. It's broke good. Really broke good, you know. So they sent me back to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, we need to set you up for tomorrow afternoon. We want to fix this as quickly as possible, because if you don't fix it, your hip, you know, it'll get worse, and it'll start splitting out. And they begin to give me all the good stuff, you know, that's why I need to have surgery. And then, how long is it going to be before I can walk again? About 12 weeks. You're going to have to stay off of that thing for about 12 weeks. And I said, oh, okay. So I said, well, what's all this going to cost? And they're talking about dollars. They said, well, for the x-ray was $115. For the MRI was $400 and something. And every time you do something, you go to the surgery, they're going to put three screws in my hip and everything. This is now going to cost a whole bunch more money. And I told them, I said, okay. But I got to do this. And they said, yes, you got to have this done. Okay, so we come home. Baron loads me back up. I mean, it's nice to have a boy like him, you know. And boy, I'm telling you what, it's really nice to have a big, old, strong, healthy boy that can reach up there and get under your arm, pick you up, and set you down in the front seat of that car. I'm telling you, it's nice to have a boy like that. I mean, I'm so glad God sent him to me. But he really helped me and helped me get around.
We stopped and
bought a wheelchair. And did what then? Yeah, we stopped and bought a wheelchair because I found out that Walmart has a wheelchair for like $150 or something like that. And I got to have somebody to get around. So anyway, Cheryl went into Walmart, bought me a wheelchair, and I come in here now. All this is happening just in a few days of time. And the next Sunday, I told Cheryl, I said, well, I'm going to, some of you might have been here that Sunday. But I wheeled myself out here. Here I am, a healing minister, and I'm riding in a wheelchair. And I come up right here, and I get out of that wheelchair, and I stand up, and I say, you know, you're looking at your man of faith and power. And I said, I'm going to have surgery. The doctors tell me I've got to have surgery. So anyway, I said, well, we're going to do it. So I took all my prayer team in that room in there, and we prayed. Every one of us, we called my full name. We went to the throne of God. We done all kinds of things. And I decided, okay, so if I got to have surgery, I got to have surgery. So anyway, everybody went home. I come in here, went to the bedroom. I got on the edge of that wheelchair, and I pushed myself up, and I got out and got in the bed. When I'm standing up, it is painful, let me tell you. I tell you, Lord, you are really putting me to the test. I need this hip fixed. So I get this meditating on those problems. When I lay down, the pain goes away. So it really makes it nice to want to lay down because it don't hurt laying down. Or it didn't on me. So anyway, I sat there for a little while and I thought, Lord, I am a man that teaches faith. That's been the goal of my life, to teach people how to believe what your promises say with no doubt in their heart. Amen. And I said, Lord, this ain't going to go across on my record very good if I have to go down there and have a doctor cut me open and I do this. I'm serious, folks. I'm really dead serious as I can be. You know, if I go down, if I have surgery and all this stuff, and I can't get out of the wheelchair for 12 weeks, there's people going to say, what's wrong with this boy? He don't believe his own preaching. And that was the truth. I mean, that was the doggone truth, I guarantee you. So I said, okay. I said, Lord, I'm laying there in the bed, just me and God. I said, Lord, you told me in your word that I could ask anything, you'd do it. I've used those promises over and over and over. How many of y'all know I've used those promises? And some of y'all have been the ones who've been the recipients. I mean, you know that these promises work, don't you? Some of you have taken what you learned from me and you're applying it to people yourself and it's working for you. So you know these promises work. And here I am believing all of a sudden they don't work. So I said, Lord, I got to have some help. I said, I give you this body when I was 11 years old when I accepted you as Lord and Savior. I didn't know what I was doing, but I gave you this body. And after I gave you this body, now then I expect you to take good care of it and keep it in good shape for me. You said, because of all these great and precious promises, we have this great faith that we can do anything. And I said, Lord, I'm not doing what you said. I'm not standing on your word, but Lord, I need some help. I need you to heal this leg. I just can't stand the thought of thinking about going to a hospital and letting them do surgery on me and costing thousands of dollars, and then I won't be able to walk on this hip for 12 weeks. I said, Lord, this ain't no good. This ain't going to work. So I'm going to ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, according to your promises, I'm going to ask you to fix my hip completely. And he said, son, if you trust me completely, I will heal you completely. Hallelujah. That's all I needed. I got one more little boost now. I picked up I called Cheryl. I said, and called her on the phone and said, honey, get in here. I got to have some help. She said, what's wrong? She come running in there right quick. She said, what do you want? I said, I want you to call the hospitals and tell them, the doctors and everybody, and tell them I've changed my mind. I am not going to have no surgery. Hallelujah. I'm going to let Jesus heal this and heal it alone. I'm not going to have no help from nobody but God. And she said, but honey, I said, don't tell me no, give me no but honey, nothing here. I said, I'm going to stand on God's word. She said, but you got to be able to walk with no pain. I said, it'll come. But I'm going to stand on that word by faith. Guarantee I'm going to stand by faith. You know how hard it is to walk by faith? It's hard. Guarantee it's hard. Especially maybe if you're yourself, your own self, or your mate or something, and you're going to stand on his word, and you're going to believe that he's going to heal that leg, and you can't walk, you got to be kidding me. Maybe we need to do this surgery. I know what was going along in her head because I know what was going wrong in my head. But I ain't going to let my head win over this one. I said, you devil of hell, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I command every spirit of curse that's in me to come out of me and go to the abyss and leave me alone. Now, Father, you said in your word that I could ask for anything and you'd do it. So, Lord, I'm going to take John 14:13-14. I'm going to ask you from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, you fix my hip and fix it and do fix it quickly. And I want to thank you. You said I could ask anything, and you said come boldly into the throne room of God and tell me what you want and don't back up. When you ask, you believe. So I said, it's done. So I told Cheryl, I said, call them hospitals, tell them I will not be there tomorrow. I'm going to trust Jesus. So she said, are you sure? I said, I'm sure. Call them. So she called them, and then I said, now then call, take each one of the team members, the prayer warriors that pray with me every Sunday, and I said, call them in and tell them that I have changed my mind. I will not go to the doctor. I will just trust God completely, or else I ain't going to get no help from nobody but God. And I said, I'm going to walk by faith. And I said, If for some strange reason something doesn't, it's my time to come home, then I'll just go home. But I said, I am not going to let no doctor do no surgery on me except Jesus. Amen. She said, you're sure? I said, I'm sure. So she called Barron. So the pastor decided to change his mind. He ain't going to go to the doctor. I mean, Barron, he didn't make three steps from his office all the way back to my bed where I was there. And he said, Pastor, I want you to know I'm standing with you. Yeah. And he's on mine and Jesus' side. Those, and each one, as Carol called, each one of the members of the prayer team, they all agreed. We're in agreement with pastor's prayer. Whatever he wants, that's what we're going to be. And so, anyway, we all agreed in prayer. Everybody agreed with me. Everybody, you know, and the scripture says if just two of you agree, he'll do anything, didn't he?
Yeah.
Me and Barron, we're two. Me and, you know, it doesn't make any difference who it is. Me and Mike or Mike and Grace or Kim or Scott, who, it doesn't make any difference who it is. As long as there's two of us that believe, that's all it takes. So anyway, we're still going to stand on God's promises. So I told Cheryl, I said, that's it. I'm not going to go to a doctor. I'm going to let Jesus heal me. And so I got that wheelchair out there. And I get up and I said, okay, when I need to go to the bathroom, I'll just go, I'll push that wheelchair. And I tried sitting in it for a day and a half, whatever it was. I said, this ain't working, trying to get around here at the ministry center with a wheelchair. I mean, it ain't no fun, folks. I think about people that live in a wheelchair all the time. But I don't want to be one of those. So anyway, I just told her, I said, well, I'm going to push this wheelchair. And so I rode in a wheelchair for a day or two. Then after that, I told her, I said, you know, this is too hard to get around. I'll just get up and I'll pull the wheelchair together. And I'll hold on to the handles and I'll walk around here. As long as I got something to lean on when this leg hits the ground, I'm okay. So anyway, after one day of pushing myself around with that like that, I told her, I said, that's it. I'm done with this thing. I'm going to walk and I ain't going to need no wheelchair. And I ain't going to need nothing. So I got it out of that bed. I told her, I said, take this wheelchair and take it out there and put it in the hallway or something, but get rid of it. I don't need a wheelchair. I'm a man of faith, and I believe in. And after just a few steps of walking out, I walked out of that thing, and the pain went away, and I've been running and playing ever since. I get so tickled at Columba. She said, Pastor, I saw you riding in that wheelchair one day, and the next day you're running all over the place. She said, I got to see your miracle. I got to see God do your miracle. And I got to see it. Now then, does it prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you stand on his word, it don't make no difference who you are, does it, Barron? He's no respected person. You know, the reason Barron could stand with me because just a few years ago, he blowed out a whole knee. He was picking up 800 pounds of weight almost and blowed out a knee. And boy, they'd done the surgery on him, but when they took him off, they said he'd probably never walk again. He told me, he said, I'm going to walk, I'm going to run, I'm going to lift weights again. And he just won the world championship. But it took faith to do it, didn't it, Barron? It takes faith for you. Now then, if God will take this 81-year-old guy and he'll forgive him his sins and he'll stand on his word when he stands and he heals, can heal my leg over almost overnight. In fact, I had a young man out here the other day, about 35 years old. He said, boy, you don't look like a man that just had a broken hip. I said, I don't feel like a man with a broken hip because Jesus fixed my hip. And guarantee it.
He's
free. Yeah, it's just like I had a man ask me a question the other day. He said, Pastor, are you still going out preaching? I said, no, I've quit. I said, I'm not doing. I get invitations all over the world. They want me to come to
India.
Yeah, India and England, all kinds of places. But I don't go to those places no more. I said, I've did it for years. I went for years. I went to all over Europe, all over Norway, Scandinavia, you know, everywhere. I went all over the world and preached these gospels. And some of the people get a hold of this, but you know what the average person, when you preach about faith, most people, they can't do it because they're not walking close enough with God. So they don't get their miracle. So they think, this don't work. I don't know how Thurman does this, but it don't work. But it does work.
Yes.
Faith does work. But it's a tough gospel. It's a hard gospel. And this boy told me, he said, you know, I expected there not be as many people want to hear what you got to say. Because when you come to our church, he said, I never heard a gospel as tough as you. You say that if you'll pray and believe and ask God, it doesn't make any difference if it takes a week or 2 weeks or a month. Or in some people's case, some people we have prayed for has taken a year or a year and a half. As you start to leave here today, when after the potluck and everything, I got some pictures over on the wall. I got a little girl out there, and she has eczema all over her body. She was born with it. They've taken her to 12 doctors. Wow. The finest doctors they could find, and they did everything they knew to do. But they could not heal that little girl. They heard about me, and that's the gospel that I preach. And this gospel is a tough gospel. When they called me and they told me that we got a problem with our little girl, I said, tell me about your life. How long she had this? She was born with it. I said, okay. She was born with it. I said, do you have older or younger children? They said, we have older children. I said, any of your older children born with this disease? And they said, no, only her. I said, okay, that kind of narrows it down. I said, if your older children don't have any problem, then when y'all had those children, you conceived them in a love walk with God. People never heard this. I said, you're walking in love with God, and your children, God blessed you with good children. But I said, this other one that's got this disease, I said, you and your wife, or you and your wife, or both of you, one or both of you done something that literally ticked off God, and he's cursed this girl with a Deuteronomy 28:27 curse. It's written. If you do not obey me and do what I say, I will curse you and your children with an incurable itch that cannot be healed. That's written in God's word. People said God would never do that to us. Oh, if he didn't, he shouldn't have wrote it in the book. Because he wrote it and he put it in the book. If God put it in the book, let me tell you, he'll do exactly what he said in that book. Won't he, Baron? Whether you're standing by faith, he's an awesome God. Anyway, we said, well, we'll repent of all of our sins. And I said, that's what's causing it. You got to repent of your sins. And so they repented of their sins, of everything they knew. And I prayed the prayer of faith for them. I said, now call me back in a month or two and tell me what good things God's done. Well, they called back in about a month or two and said, she's worse. I mean, I got pictures out there on the wall. She's terrible. She looked, little Jenna, she looks awful. She really looks awful. So anyway, I told her, well, we hadn't found the sin, so I sent them a whole bunch more teachings. And that's another thing, too, about my teachings. There's lots of people listen to them. And there's this one doctor, so-and-so, I can't think of his name, down here in Dallas at seminary. He said, this old country boy, Thurman Scrivener, he said, I don't know what he's trying to do. He said, he's teaching a wild, hard-to-follow gospel. But he says, what he's teaching is not true. It's not true. Said, God would never do the things that he says that God will do. I got these things out of God's Word. If I got them out of His Word, then He'll do it. So anyway, we look at what we're trying to do here, and we cannot get this girl healed. We go for a year and a half. How many people you know that will continue to pray for somebody every day or every week or every month for a year and a half? Not very many. That's right. That's, give up. It's not God's will. I said, the promises of God are always yes and amen.
Amen.
If the promises of God are always yes and amen, then God's plan for this to work. There's got to be a reason why He's not answering your prayer. And I'm telling you what it is. It's sin. We haven't found the sin, but this couple has fell from grace, just like Paul tells us. And I said, this is the way this works. So I said, we're going to stand till we find out what the problem is. And after almost a year and a half, I finally told this couple, I said, I don't know what the sin is. I can't find it. I said, y'all don't know what it is. So I said, told Richard, I said, you're the head of your house. I want you to take God's word, and I want you to stand on those promises in Jeremiah 30:33. I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, what did we do that caused you to strike our daughter with this curse? Because it's written. That curse is written in Deuteronomy 28:27. It's written. So anyway, he said, how long do I pray, Thurman? I said, until you get an answer. So it takes a day, a week, a month, a year. Well, don't give up. We'll get this girl healed. So they started praying. 3 weeks went by. Prayed every day. 3 weeks went by, and she called me. She said, Thurman, this morning when I woke up, God spoke to me. I said, what did He say? She said, He said, lying and deception. I said, oh, He did. I said, that's your sin, lying and deception. I said, do you have any idea what that means? She said, yes. She said, when I was 39, my husband was 43. And she said, I went to my husband one day and told him, I said, honey, I'm getting older every day, and before I get too old to have babies, I want one more child. Her husband said, no, we don't want no more children. We've got children. We've got all the kids we want. We don't need no more children. I'm not going to have any more children. And so who's supposed to be the head of the house?
The husband.
According to the Word of God, he makes the final decisions. If everything's in line, it'll work. If it's not, it won't work. So anyway, she said, okay, I'll do everything I can to keep from getting pregnant. So she said, I'll do what I can. She said, anyway, when she got pregnant, she come on, she told her husband, she said she was pregnant. And she said, I lied to him when I told him I'd do everything I could to keep him getting pregnant. I did everything I could to get pregnant. So she was lying to her husband and deceiving her husband. And that caused the little girl that came out of that to be born with a curse. Little Jenna Singh. She's about 20 or 21 years old. But anyway, after we found the sin, I told the mother, I said, did you confess your sin to your husband? She said, I did. I said, did he forgive you? And she said, yes. I said, okay, did you confess your sin to God? She said, yes, I did. I said, okay, then we know God forgave you because He said if you confess your sin, He'll forgive your sins. Is that what He says?
Yes, He
does. So we know what He done. So I said, now then, Richard, now we can pray the prayer of faith. I told the mother. I said, now we can pray the prayer of faith for your little girl, and I guarantee she'll get well. So she said, I don't want my little girl to be healed. I said, what do you mean? We've been praying for a year and a half. Now you're telling me you don't want her healed? She said, since I've learned it was my sin that put her there. That's what caused the curse to come upon my daughter. She said, I will ask my husband to forgive me. I ask God to forgive me. But I don't want her just to be healed. She said, Thurman, she's got scars all over her body. And when you go out that door, you look at little Jenna right straight ahead as you look all those pictures of little Jenna Singh, how awful she looks. I mean, she's awful. But she said, I don't want her just healed. I want her to be with a new set of skin. I want her to have brand new skin, not just healed. I want her to be smooth and beautiful. And so I said, well, I happen to know the one that can answer a prayer like that. No, don't you know who he is? Now, we got rid of the sin. We prayed the prayer of faith and asked God to move and to restore little Jenna Singh and make her like brand new without any scars or anything on her body. And within a couple of weeks, just a few weeks, you look at the pictures to the left, you'll see the pictures of that girl, and she ain't got a scar or a mark on her body. She's beautiful. I mean, she's beautiful. What can God do?
Anything.
Now then, if you think that I'm teaching something that's not true, how do you think this worked? How do you think this little girl got her healing? If I'm teaching something that ain't true, does God answer lies?
No.
No. But all those. In fact, we got others back there, too. We had one little boy back there that his kidneys are failing.
Gideon.
Little Gideon. And the doctor said within 3 weeks he'll be dead. Nothing we can do. I said, we got to sin, folks. We got to find it. We found it. Listen to this. The mother and the father had made a pact that they would not buy cell phones or computers. They were going to live their life without cell phones. He let this go as long as he could, and then he decided, I want a cell phone. So he went down and bought him a cell phone. Now, he's the head of the house. He's the authority in that home, and if he wants a cell phone, he can have a cell phone. God's okay with that. I can guarantee you it don't hurt for him to have a cell phone. But his wife didn't want it. She moved in and said she hated him for what he'd done. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's the wrong thing to say to your husband. That brought a curse upon this little Gideon, this little boy. Now his kidneys are stopping to work, and if we hadn't come in with the right answer, that little boy would have died. I'm telling you, he was on the way out. You'll see his pictures. He had 26 pounds of water on his stomach. He's a little 4 or 5 year old boy.
He was two.
Oh, he's 2 years old. Okay. Yeah, 2 or 3 years old. But anyway, when we see what was going on, and we found the problem. We told the mother, you have got to repent to God and to your husband. You've got to tell him you're sorry. You didn't mean you hated him. You've got to tell him you love him. Is that what God's word says?
Yeah.
Walk in love?
Yeah.
So he did. She did. And then we prayed the prayer of faith for the little boy. And guess what? Within 1 hour after she repented, and we prayed the prayer of faith, he started passing water. His kidneys started working. In just a matter of a few days, he had lost 26 pounds of water, and he's normal. Today, he's still completely, perfectly normal. Now then, that's just two of the stories of the ones that's out there. I've been doing this for years, and I've seen this story. I've seen children and their parents. I've seen these things happen over and over. In fact, I had a woman over in Dallas one day when I told her that her 3 sons were all sick because of her sin of unbelief against her husband. She told me right there in the church. She said, my husband works in a ministry. And said, if you think that the God that we serve would strike my children, well, you're crazy. I said, no, ma'am, I'm not crazy. I said, I learned this from God myself. She said, you're trying to tell me that God has afflicted my children with these curses? I said, yes. Her testimony, Terry and Frank, their testimony is back there. If you don't believe these stories, you need to get the copies of these things and listen to them yourself, and you'll see. In fact, it hadn't been too terribly long ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago or whatever, when Terry and Frank's kids got healed. They came here, and Terry and Frank were sitting right here on the front row. Some of you might have been here that day. I said, Terry, how often did you and your Frank have to go to the doctor with your kids when y'all were not walking in love and you were in unforgiveness toward him? She said, we went to the doctor nearly every week. Something. Asthma, allergies, something. But I said, when you got back in your love walk and you forgave each other, how long has it been since you've been to a doctor? She said, in 10 years, we have not been back to a doctor. When God says walk in love with each other, do you think he meant what he said? If God says walk in love,
walk in love.
If you haven't read 1 Corinthians 13 lately, is that where that's at?
Yes,
1 Corinthians 13, is that where that's at?
Yes,
if you hadn't read that lately, what should you do?
Read it.
Read it. And then the next thing, what should you do?
Believe it.
Do it. Yes, believe it. Do it.
Yeah.
And you'll have a whole lot less problems.
Yeah.
You know, normally... We teach, have a teaching on faith, but today I'm not going to do that since we got potluck. I'm going to tell you that today we're going to take communion first. I want my communion people to go back and get our elements and pass them out to everybody. We're going to take communion right now, and after we take communion, then we're going to have potluck. We've had a service, and we're going to stand on God's word. And I want you all, as you do leave today, I want you to look at these pictures as you walk out. When you start home, I want you to look at the pictures of those little children. You know, while they're passing these out, I think I have mine up here. I think
you don't have a cracker.
I don't have a cracker.
Okay. Mine's up.
We had a little girl, a couple from Australia. When I say we get phone calls and emails from all over the world, we really literally do that. This couple contacted us and they had this little girl.
Lola.
Little tiny baby. And whenever she was born, they wanted the baby. They were married. They wanted another child. So they prayed and asked God to give them a baby. Well, whenever they prayed, he heard their prayer, and he sent this baby, this little girl, into the womb of the mother. And they start going through the normal things you go through with a child, a new child. And sometimes, which we don't understand why, but sometimes there's things where one woman might have more trouble having a baby than others. Y'all know that, right?
Yes.
I mean, one woman said, well, I didn't have any pain at all, bear in mind. The other said, man, I had pain every day. And that's just the way life is. But anyway, they didn't realize as they had these problems and trials and tests that they was causing the babies to be handicapped. People, this problems, people just don't understand it. When you grumble and complain, there's a scripture that says, do all things without grumbling and complaining. Do y'all know that?
Yes.
What do you think he meant when he said that?
No.
If God says do all things, Baron, if he said do everything without grumbling and complaining, what did he say? What did he mean? Surely he wouldn't curse us or do something. But he will, won't he? I'm telling you. So they grumble and complain. And so when the baby, when little Lola's born, she's got this problem. They contact us. They say, what's the problem? I said, I'm getting smarter. Instead of trying to figure out what the sin is myself, why don't we just go to God right off the bat? Doesn't that make sense? Lord, what's the problem here? Why has little Lola got all this? It looks like ringworms or whatever it is on all over her body. What is the Lord? What is the deal, dear Lord? I said, I told the husband. I said, the daddy. I said, I want you to go to God and ask him why he cursed your baby with this curse. Because I said, y'all done something. I guarantee it. They went to the Lord and asked him, and the Lord says, the reason I cursed this child is because y'all grumbled and complained. Said, you prayed for it, I sent the child, and all she, especially the wife, the mother, she has done nothing but grumble and complain the whole time she's carried this child. Now then, if you are having if you know anybody that's having problems in a carriage of a child and they're grumbling and complaining, you need to tell them they need to start getting right with God and walk in love. Amen. Unless they want that child to be born handicapped. This little guy had a real problem. Anyway, they repented after we found out what the problem was, grumbling and complaining. I said, did you grumble and complain? He said, that's all my wife's done. The whole time she's carrying this baby every day. She has some kind of pain or something, so it's all she's done is grumbling and complaining. I said, tell your wife to repent of that sin, and you get in there and you repent of your sin, and you and her get back in love walk, and then after you love each other, I want you to go to the throne of grace and ask the Father in Jesus' name to take that curse off of your baby and heal that little girl and make her perfect in Jesus' name. And then don't forget to thank him. He said, do everything with thanksgiving. He did all that, and 3 days later he called back and said, Pastor, my little girl Lola is perfect, beautiful. Not a mark on her body, nowhere. Isn't that something? And it works. We've seen it work. Do we have all the bread and crackers?
All set.
Everything's done?
Yes.
Okay. Let me get around here where I can get to my cracker. Where I can get around to the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for sending this body, this cracker. We're going to receive this cracker as a reminder to us that by your stripes we were healed. This is ours, and we take this in Jesus' name. Amen. Then we're going to take the covenant, blood of the new covenant, which cleanses us and purifies us and makes us just like we've never sinned. So when you drink this, you become clean and pure and holy in Jesus' name. God's word is true, every word in it. It's amazing. What's in that book? Wow. That's what I say. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and praise you for this wonderful day and for this food and drink and everything that you've so graciously prepared for us and given to us. And we thank you for it. Now use it for our bodies to be blessed, to have strength to be about your business. In Jesus' name, amen.